Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at nissanusa.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
I want to jump over to another piece here. It goes a little out of the timeline of the doc, but it's an example of how she's able to somehow kind of twist reality around. And even when she's caught in the lie, and she's caught in a lie in this documentary, just how she handles it. And it's very bizarre. It's very telling. We'll watch and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Three prisons. I've been through three prisons. I'm not in any prison anymore. I'm ready to tell the truth about James, and I'm ready to tell the truth about Keith. Because I'm free.
Are you, though?
I had been carrying on this emotional affair with James via text, and he was starting to get deeper feelings for me, and that wasn't the purpose for me. And then it got to that point where it's like, I'm ready to really just end things with him. And James started threatening me. I'm just going to come up there. I know exactly where Keith works. I know where you live. I'm going to blow shit up. So what the hell do I do? And that's when the plan came for him to come up to Reading to see me. So it was supposed to be the goodbye. We had communicated that morning, and James had been so pushy that morning. And then I was at that point where I just had said, I'm going to go for a run. And I will let you know when we're going to meet up and where we're going. So I had started my run. And when I had gotten to the end, where the pavement ends, where the dirt road is, I saw a vehicle pull up and then back up. That's when I realized that it was James. And my cell phone fell. And when I reached down to get my phone, that is the last thing that I remember.
But there's this.
After your release, you told Keith you pulled your hair out and placed your phone and earbuds on the ground on purpose to leave a clue that you've been abducted.
So the documentarian there, because it's hard to hear, is saying you had previously stated that you had pulled your hair out and put it with the phone on purpose to make it look like there was some sort of violent attack. That's essentially what they're saying, because she just told a totally different story right there. So she's getting caught in that lie right now. Here's how she reacts.
I knew you'd find my phone. I knew you'd find my phone in my hair. I knew you'd find it. I knew you would. That's why I pulled it out. So which one is it? Did you drop your phone by accident? Or did you place it there on purpose to leave a clue for Keith?
Oh, during captivity, James said they found my phone. So I knew. I knew he'd found the phone.
Not sure I understand.
Because it wasn't even the question.
So there was a elaboration around it, sure, and there was what's the word that you've used before that I can't remember? Thank you. There was embellishment around it, sure, but it was my first attempt to say, "Guy was in trouble."
coming to some hospital, you were lying about purposely placing it there. When you told us, you were telling the truth that it's a...
I have no memory of getting in the back of this vehicle. I have no memory of what was said or what was exchanged or how he managed to knock me out or get me in the back. I have tried EMDR. I have tried hypnosis. I have tried therapy. But there is absolutely no memory of getting into the car. It's just not there.
So she skirts around the whole damn question of why was you, because she said, I ripped out some of my hair, put it on the phone to make it look like there was a struggle, essentially. And they keep calling her out on it. Yes, they found my phone. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, why did you do this? And then she just, it doesn't even like register. It's like she just goes on to something else.
She just keeps talking and veers and maneuvers. And you see how easy it is for her to come up with a different narrative, a different story, and just... you know, just be oblivious to the fact that she's contradicting herself. She
immediately
doesn't sit with it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how does that come about? I mean, how does that come about? Is that like kind of a learned behavior where so much of your life you get people that are just saying yes to you? Mm-hmm. I mean, she's an attractive woman. I can imagine there's a lot of guys who she could say the craziest shit to. And so they'd be like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. Okay, yeah. And eventually it's just, well, that's how it works. I can say anything I want. Anybody will just smile and be okay with me because I'm pretty. I don't know. I mean, is it from that sort of a life or is it, I mean, what's going on there?
Whatever her personality traits that we're seeing at this point that have gotten her in so much trouble, this has been her style, you know, probably from the time she was a little girl. Tell a lie, bat your eyes, and people will just let you maneuver that way. Mm-hmm. And she's really good at it. It just comes naturally to her. So when would we ever believe anything she says?
Yeah.
When would a person believe it? It's something that, you know, if there was, you know, the truth serum mm-hmm. that you could give someone, I mean, it would be shocking what the real story of this woman's life really is.
Get her really drunk and see what she says.
I doubt even then. You would just get version A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You'd just get one of the stories.
Spin the wheel. What do we land on right now? Yeah. I found it fascinating where she goes, after she's having this emotional affair with her ex-boyfriend, I mean, she doesn't seem to think that she's operating 1,000% on her emotions. She doesn't seem to have any regard for anybody else's emotions. Saying that the deeper feelings, that's not what was the purpose of it for me when he started having deeper feelings. This is all according to her. And this was supposed to be the goodbye. Now, in no way, shape, or form am I saying, okay, if a girl leads you on, it's okay to go kidnap her. No, not at all. That's no way near of what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if she doesn't seem to realize that if you're having these communications, and there's other parts of this doc where it turns out she told him to come up, they were going to go get together. There's text messages where she's saying that she wants to go live with him. So it's not just, hey, come up, let's talk for a few minutes and then be on our way. She's setting up a whole other story and a whole other life plan for somebody who's coming to get her. And then if she's being honest here and she doesn't want to go, then she says she was kidnapped. This guy doesn't have any sort of history of kidnapping people. There's no pattern of behavior here. I find it very hard to believe that just one day this girl that he supposedly cares about and wants to protect would suddenly show up and just take her away and chain her up in a closet the way that she's explaining it. But again, it shows a deeper disconnect from anyone other than Sherry. Mm-hmm. That's been just kind of the ongoing theme in this. The way that she frames things in her mind, that's one weird way. Here's another weird way she frames the fact that she's not allowed to have contact with her children physically anymore after doing all of this.
My children were not taken away from me. They were stolen by my ex-husband. I have never been ruled as a threat or a danger to my children. My children were never taken by the court. They were taken by Keith. Before I went to prison, Keith filed an order to get 100% physical and legal custody, and it was granted because I was going into prison.
Yeah, tell me more about that.
I have phone calls every Sunday. Generally, they're at a certain time, but he has a tendency to cancel them at the last minute or shift around the schedule. It's been that way for almost 2 years now.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say she's projecting about canceling last minute or shifting around the schedule, that she's the one doing it. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that there he was being responsible. He was taking custody of the children because she clearly has demonstrated she's not mentally fit to be a full-time parent or even part-time parent to these kids. When I had to go through a similar thing several years ago, I didn't have a Sherry Papini in my life, but I had something kind of like it, where it got to be really like, okay, you're not well, like not well enough to be around the kids. Every single person had told me, you have to look out for what's best for the kids. Do not let emotions get involved of, well, maybe it would be best if they had, if there was more interactions there and all of that. I had to do what was best for them. I did allow contact for a while. And eventually through all of the, not showing up, canceling last minute, that wasn't me. That was the other side. And so I can see what's going on here, where there's the erratic behavior of, I'm going to change this because of how I'm feeling at that moment in time. He did what was right. And she's trying to frame it as if this is something horrible. She is the one who ran away from her family, and still somehow thinks she's going to be entitled to have the same rights that she had previously. Is she just clueless in all this because it's just not going to go her way? Does she legitimately believe that she should have these things? Or is it just a, I'm going to stomp my feet and make myself look more like a victim publicly versus I actually want to have my children in my life?
I'm sure she misses her children. I think, you know, she has tremendous personality problems. There's so much wrong with her. But undoubtedly, she did care about those kids. I mean, I don't doubt that. But this is where you can see how her personality problems impact her ability to be present for the kids, that 22-day disappearance. You know, the lying that got her incarcerated. If you're a stable person, you love your kids, you don't do any of those things that are going to jeopardize your relationship with your children. So again, I don't hear her taking responsibility for it. It's all evil Keith is the one who took them away. Not that, you know what, I proved that I was not competent to be a parent.
And that's the thing. That's why it seems like, oh, maybe a light bulb moment happened here. And she went, oh, well, if I paint Keith as the really bad guy, right, I will look like I was just fighting to see my kids again. Because that's essentially what she's claiming in this whole documentary, is that she survived the 22 days so she could be with her kids again. And now Keith's not letting her be by the kids. And she went through this horrible, horrible thing. And her stories don't add up whatsoever. And yeah, it's people are spooky.
They're very spooky. And, you know, I would love to have a conversation with James if I could, you know, because there are so many unknown things about that guy, and he wouldn't appear in the documentary, understandably, probably in his own best interest not to appear in the documentary. But what was really this dynamic between the two of them? Who tells you that I want you to brand me, and you just go, okay, sure, that's a good idea. What do you want me to write? You know?
Keith Raniere is one of them. But
yeah, there's another. Yeah. But it's just everybody involved, there's a lot wrong. And it's just...
Yeah, I mean, that is a whole other thing, too. I mean, I'm not saying that this James guy is a saint. I think there's something seriously wrong with him.
Something wrong with James.
If you're that driven to appease this partner of yours at this point in time by literally branding, Exodus something on her
something
back?
Something Exodus, yeah.
And like,
which nobody can explain.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all. And then, I mean, in the other doc, I believe James did speak in the other doc, The Perfect Wife, and there was claims in there where he had like a hockey pole, I believe, or a hockey stick, and he claimed that she asked him to just hold it out so she could run into it before she got out, before she came back. So it looked like she had been bruised and beat up. And he claimed he never did anything to her. But who does that? Who's like, yeah, Sherry, just keep running into the hockey stick or whatever.
No.
Let me brand
you. No, that doesn't add. His bit in it is dirty. It doesn't add up. It's you know, there's no normal justification for his role in this. So as I say, I've always felt like, you know, he needs to have some accountability for whatever the heck went on here too.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. So I don't know that he physically like took his hand or took anything to physically abuse her. I do kind of buy that this may be how it happened, that she wanted to look abused and he was supposed to help her. But you don't help that. You don't say, yes, let me help you.
Absolutely not. No, yeah.
It's
you
a
do
very
not.
Weird way of looking at, at all of this.
Yeah.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.